you guys.
Hey, Jeremy.
What's up?
Hey.
So, if I were to ask you, what's your worst Christmas gift that you've ever gotten? What's the first gift that comes to your mind? Frank.
Oh, man. Well, I had this girl that I was going out with in high school, and like we were like, yo, we're going to get each other bags for Christmas. So I was, you know, I was trying to bag her, right? So I bought her a Coach bag. And, you know, back then it was like $250, $275, maybe $300. I was like, I was in high school still.
A lot of money.
And Christmas time, she gave me remember the Rockport, like, backpacks? Like, it was like $30. And I was like, yo, I just spent like almost $300 on you, and you bought me.
And she didn't even get you a JanSport.
Shit. Thanks.
And then she wanted me to rock it all the time to school. I was like, man, get out of here, man. Rachel!
Sounds like a lot of baggage, Frank. Well, you know what happens when, like, you express certainty and love for a gift that you got from somebody, then they give you the same shit every year? Well, I knew you loved it so much last year. For a while there, I had somebody in my family that was giving me sunflowers perfume. Y'all remember that bootleg perfume that, you know, if you could buy a perfume at Rite Aid, don't buy it, please. Don't buy me no Rite Aid. You know what I'm saying? So I was getting sunflowers by Elizabeth Arden year after year after year after year. So that just became one of those gifts that I was like, I'm just going to go in the medicine cabinet and stay there for 7 years so it smells like caca. What about you, Jamie?
I'm going to return the Celine Dion perfume that I bought you for Christmas this year then, that I bought in CVS.
I'm going to return the Rihanna one I have.
I think
wow.
I love her.
My brother one time, I know you like movies, so he bought me a DVD of the 1999 film Idle Hands. Which is the most random movie. It's about a guy whose right hand is possessed by a demonic force, right?
No, but that's Jessica Alba's debut.
That was the one thing that where I was like, who is this? Because Jessica Alba was like, you know, at her prime right there. But yeah, it was just weird. It even had the Blockbuster sticker on it. So I was like, yo, do I have to return this shit? Or did you just like not return? you just got it for me. You just left it, had it in your house. You didn't return it. And hey, yo, I can give this to my brother as a gift. So,
did he rewind it at least?
He was not kind and he did
didn't charge him $2?
Yeah, the value in that gift is in the late fee.
It's the thought that counts, though. It's the thought that, and Jerry.
Oh man, you know, my tia one time, she made me this vest and she sewed on like handmade ornaments.
Ooh.
Yeah, but she gave it to me like I got it on Christmas Eve and I had to wear it at Christmas Eve and on New Year's for that year. And she was kind of expecting me to wear the New Year. But you know, all I know is that those pictures, they're all burnt.
Yo, why do I'm imagining you like, you remember the Christmas Story where the kid had to wear I'm Jerry in the bunny outfit. Suit. Your vest was the bunny suit.
And you know what? I was a chubby kid and I was like, you know, I should have got an extra medium.
Aww. Mm. Damn,
that is a very sad Christmas story.
It's the Latinos Out Loud podcast.
Yo, hello. A happy holiday, right? Isn't it that time of year?
Hell yeah.
106.7 Light FM is blazing the Christmas joints right now all day. I love it. Hi, it's the Holiday Latinos Out Loud podcast. Let's get in the spirit together here in podcast land. It's your jolly friend to the end, Rachel La Loca.
Ooh.
Yo, it's Jay Ferens in the hizzy.
Woo.
That was so hip-hop.
Oh, it's, I'm guest hosting today. It is me, Jerry D, Edmo Di Foca.
Hello, right. Jerry Diaz.
It's Frank, a.k.a. Frank Spiracy.
Frank.
Yeah.
Frank and Beans, Frank Spiracy. It's good to see you, fellas. Come on.
What up?
Welcome back, Jerry. Always a pleasure.
You know what I'm saying?
Feels like home. Thank you. Always feels good to be around family, especially around this time of year.
Right?
Warm, right? It's like chestnuts roasting on an open fire. You can't go wrong.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
I'm allergic to chestnuts, but it's the idea of it's nice.
Sure. Mm-hmm. That's what you're telling us.
These chestnuts.
These chestnuts in your mouth. Well, here we are, people. Speaking of things in my mouth, I got to hang out with one of our super fans, now friend, over the weekend. So shout out to Vanessa, who is the owner of Bud A Fly Treats. Bud A Fly Treats.
Wait a minute. What is that what I think it is, Rachel?
Jerry, it is.
Bud.
Yeah. It's a like it's so genius. Like her logo is a high butterfly. Like it's just it doesn't get more creative. Mm-hmm. So she infuses things. And shout out to Vanessa because this is homegirl who like came to all of our live shows. And after the live show, will come right up to the tarima and bless us with a box of edible treats for the post. Like as if we needed more of a post show high. She was there to show up with those goodies. So I hung out with her.
I love the term infuses things because it makes it so much. It makes it very an official way of saying puts weed into shit.
back in the day, people used to lace
them. See, lace sounds more street, though. Be like, yeah, I just laced it. But infuses is like, I'm in the laboratory infusing things.
Infusing.
Yes. It's a chemical combustion.
Yes.
And it's where the atoms collide. And it's a fusion.
Yes, it's a chemical difference. Absolutely.
It's real. I watched Breaking Bad and learned a lot of chemistry from that show. But anyway... So yeah, she infuses this coquito. So check her out on Instagram at Bud A Fly Treats. So it's B-U-D, or just go to my page, Rachel on Loca, and you'll see my latest post. It was nice. And it also led to somewhat of a coquito confession to my mom.
Oh, so what happened?
I already like this. This is already sounds like a segment that we can do. Coquito confessions, but that's another story. Like taxi cab confessions. But with coquito.
I don't know if something's going on with the moons, Rach, but I, you know, not to jump on your story, but I kind of confessed to my mom too.
Oh, okay, we got to hear this.
You got to talk about it. So here's where I slip up. Okay. I forgot that my Instagram stories are linked to my Facebook story. Uh-oh. So like whatever I post on Instagram, you also see on Facebook where the viejos are, you know, where all my cousins and tías and everybody from DR is. And let me tell you something. They know how to look at the story, okay? They know if they see the like green circle around my picture that there's some shit. There's some shit to click on. So my mom saw me post a can of coquito and she's like, oh, your friend gave you coquito. And so I kind of knew she already knew something because, you know, my mom's not stupid. So I told her, I said, yes, it's infused with cannabis. And she just gave me this very glazed look like, oh. Like she didn't say much. Just like a very simple, oh. So, you know, I kind of like chiseled away a little at what I would like to tell her. I would like to tell her more when the time is right. And I think maybe she can even benefit from this. But Jerry, tell me what happened in your situation.
First of all, your mom would be the worst detective if she never even if she never even guessed that you might have done that.
What if I'm just really good, Jamie?
Then you'd be a great crook.
Well, maybe I'm in the wrong field, you know?
I mean, it's a thing out of respect, too. Like, you know, even though we're full-grown adults, you still want to show that respect to your parents and not necessarily throw these things in their face, especially things that they don't completely understand because that's a generational thing when it gets to that. And not only that, cultural. Like, because to my dad, it's like, you might as well have been saying, oh, you smoking that crack. That's you just smoking crack. You understand? So it's like, you know, you know perfecto don't play that shit. You know. So it was it's a cultural thing. So you don't do it in front of your parents and stuff like that. But they're also like they're also living in these modern times. They know what's going on. They see what's going on. They're not that dumb. And yeah, it became a thing like that. You know, my living situation changed a little bit. And then it was a thing where it's like, hey, and my mom was seeing certain things laying around. I was like, you know what? I'm old enough. And I'd be like, you know, this and this, you know, kind of threw it out there to my mom. And she gave me the, like, you know, listen, you're 40 years old. You can do what you want. You know, I'm not judging you. You know, and I was like, all right, nah, mom, I ain't even that serious. I'm not, you know, I'm not in putting needles in my arm or nothing. Want some brownies? Let's hang out. You know what I'm saying?
If I could get high faster that way, I would. I don't know if I would ever do weed in a needle. That's weird.
Well, guys, I got a good question for you guys. Mm-hmm. If you guys are saying that it's okay, would you be okay with your kids eventually telling you that they partake in you know, how would you feel about it? Well, both of you got kids, by the way. So how would you
be like, yo, nah, I want them to do it with me.
Yeah.
But if they, I don't want it. They don't do it with anyone else but me. That's it.
Well, initially they got to learn, like, you know, especially when, like, especially drinking, like, you don't want, like, think about it when, what happened with drinking in you, like, you know, when you were released out to the hounds into the world, how you started drinking because you were doing it behind your parents' backs and kind of getting crazy and getting into trouble and probably drinking too much or probably drinking things that you weren't supposed to drink. Where if on the other hand,
based off of Zima, what? You know,
but on the other hand, like, you know, I also, yeah, Zima.
I drink like 10 of them and be like, what is this, Sprite? Like, yeah. What's happening here?
I think you're just throwing up because you were drinking Zima, not because you were drunk.
It was the cool thing to drink. Clear beer? I mean, look it up, millennials. Look it up.
Seriously. No, that was the shit, though. No lie. That was the shit. But, you know, I had also uncles that were, like, taught me to drink on the side, so I was never a person that got crazy when that happened. But, like, I know the stories because I know, you know, once they get released into the hounds, it's like, they start abusing or whatever it is. So I would like my child, like, if it's a thing where they're going to do it, come to me, I'll tell you what I know, I'll explain what I know, and we'll go from there. You know, it's also a thing of, like, if you, you know, you're a responsible person, like with drinking, you know, I'm going to keep using that example because everybody wants to throw that back, but that's legal. And some people, you know, drinking is probably more dangerous than weed is when it comes to certain aspects. So, you know,
yeah, and Jerry's a traditionalist when it comes to that. Like, he's like the blacksmith of weed rolling. You know what I mean? Like, he's not doing all the new kids are doing now. He does it in the old school way. He rolls it the old school. It's like looking at someone like in Williamsburg, Virginia. Like, you know, one of the people from the
like making cigars and shit. Yeah, like I'm loading a musket. Yeah,
musket, some Civil War reenactment and shit. Frank, you were gonna say something though.
Yeah, no.
I got a good friend of mine that wants to smoke with his daughter. She just turned 19 and he smokes, and she started smoking, and he was like, yo, I want to smoke a blunt with my daughter. I was like, yo, you're crazy. I was like, you're crazy.
Crazy?
I don't know.
If they're of age, basically she's an adult. She's 19. And it's like, if she ain't throwing her life, like, again, you have to see if it's being done moderately or if it's being abused. And that's what it all comes down to anything. And that could be, and that could not just be, we're not just talking about like drugs. We're talking about anything. That could be any activity. It could be exercising. It could be computer stuff. It could be whatever. Like, if somebody's not doing something that they're doing it moderately, you know what I mean? There's no balance. It's not going to be a healthy thing. You know, and as a parent, that it comes that to that in general.
There's some things you can't, I don't think you, like, I feel like if they're going to discover something, let them discover it. There's something you can't do. It's not gonna, like you said, computers. Son, you know what? Let's watch Pornhub together. There's just some things that is like, all right, you're gonna experience it. Be smart with what I've taught you growing up, and hopefully you make the right decision where you don't go
right. But that's what I'm saying. But what I'm saying,
and maybe when you're in your like mid-20s, you know.
But what I'm saying is, you teach your child to have moderation. You teach your child that life is everything about balance. You know, like, that's basically what you do. You do this. This is why you're getting punished to do this. You have to do this to earn this. That's why you teach them like the merit system and how to earn things. And how to, like, that's part of teaching your child things, and you pass down your knowledge. And now again, if I was a drinker, it would probably be like, yo, I can't wait till my son or whatever, the same thing, my daughter. But the thing is, because it's weed and it still has this stigma, this old stigma around it, you know, you're just going to feel a certain way about hearing about, like, oh, that's drugs or whatever. And, you know, it's not cocaine. It's not, you're not shooting heroin. Like, you, if people are doing it socially, recreationally, then it's something that you could do socially and recreationally with your kid at a responsible age. Like, when I'm not talking about, like, yo, the kid is 13. You're like, yo, let me teach you the world of drugs before it catches you. No,
from the master.
Yeah, from the master. Why you going in my stash again? You know, and that type of shit.
You know, I mean, by the time your kids get older to that age,
they're gonna be
Rachel and Jerry. Yeah, it's gonna be like Tic Tacs.
Right. And we're responsible. And we're responsible adults. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, we're
speak for yourself, Jerry.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I should only. Well,
we're all gonna be taking bath salts. You know, it's inevitable. All right, wait, just to end, you know, going back to the parents, because the kid question was really good.
Right.
Would you want to do it now with your parents knowing that, you know, you kind of, you know, do this occasionally? Would you want to do it with them? You know, do you think there's any benefit for older people to experience it?
I'm gonna answer quickly because Rachel's parents are way more fun than mine are. Because I would love to smoke. I would love to smoke with your parents. Like, that would be great. I would love to smoke with my mom. Like, you know, my dad's too intense for that shit. But my mom's, my mom's is funny as hell. I'll give her some CBD gummies. I'm gonna see how that goes. You know what I'm saying? But yeah,
my mom is already chill, but it would be fun to smoke with my dad. And I'll say
Yes.
Two reasons. One, because you know, I watched him smoking cigars with my brother a lot. I'm like, that's a really fun bonding experience that I'll never get to do with my dad because, well, in my eyes, you know, I'm a woman and I cannot smoke a cigar with my dad. But man, I would love to light a Philly with my dad. I would love to, because you know what it would be like? Oh, 1945, picture this, Brownsville, Brooklyn. Yogi Berra steps up to the plate. Like, you know, it'd be like all like crazy stories because my dad is very good with the detail in the stories. It could be a story about the most monotonous thing, like, but then he throws in the detail or what his Uncle Mickey did to that guy. And you're like, whoa, where did that story come from?
He's got this voice when he's talking to you. He just captivates you when he knows how to do the draw.
This bartender wouldn't serve Jackie Robinson, so I spit in his face and I left the bar and never came back.
My dad, you guys know him well. You've heard him say many speeches at many a baby shower and wedding and all that stuff. So imagine him high. Oh my God. But my mother, on the other hand, I don't think she's already kind of chill. You know what I'm saying? She's probably like show me a side of her that I, you know, I've never seen before.
Let's go streaking. Come on, Rachel.
But speaking of fun activities to do with our friends, Jamie, you did some fun stuff with friends.
Friends.
Oh, here we go. This was something I wish I was high for. I needed one edible. No, I like it because I like friends. I think I have a new appreciation for friends during the pandemic because they play the reruns all day. And I've been working from home and like, I'll end up seeing like four Friends episodes a day just cause it's on in the background, you know?
Yeah.
So I actually have a new appreciation for Friends cause I'm like, oh, Friends is actually pretty funny. Like if you, you know, look past all the
whiteness.
If you look past the Wonder Bread whiteness, there's some really funny jokes in it, right? It's a well-written show. But anyway, yeah, it was called The Friends Experience. It's in New York City.
I'd rather go to the Living Single.
What happened?
I want to go to the Living Single experience.
I would love to do a Queen Latifah Living Single experience.
I think that's on Martin Luther King Boulevard, 137th Street.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Sorry,
this was in Midtown. This was in Midtown.
Okay. Sorry.
Yo, I'm next. Yo, this is where Khadija ate dinner. But back to the Friends one. Please. Ironically enough, I've been avoiding my real friends during the COVID, but once this Friends thing opened up, I was like, I got to go see where Joey and Chandler lived.
That's funny.
That's a perk right now.
But I risked it. You know, it's dangerous to go out now, but you know, I'll be there for you is the theme song. So I think I changed it to I'll be in intensive care for you. Because I was willing to risk everything.
I'll be in ICU.
Oh, okay. Wow. I'll see you.
Oh, wow.
Well,
but Jamie, okay, you got a video too.
Well, yeah, so it's like a mini museum, right? It has a lot of different, but it has pretty much all the locations of that you see in Friends.
The main episode.
All the apartments.
Right.
You see Central Perk, the ghetto Starbucks that they have in the show.
The Pivot Sofa.
The Pivot Sofa. We took a picture of that. You know what I'm saying? The Fountain. I did a couple dance. So I did a video, like Frank said, we did like a funny video. I wanted to do like a fake Friends opening. So me and Fatima, we did, you know, we were, you know, holding up the line a little bit because people were like waiting to use these things. And we were just like, no, one more shot. Fatima, just get me doing like the little, like the Ross robot dance in the fountain. Sorry guys, we'll be done in a minute. You know what I mean? but you had to keep your masks on, you know? So that was the only thing. I think it was a fun time, but we are still in the COVID age. And so you do get a little paranoid. You're like, oh, chill, let's wait till this person leaves. Cause I don't want to be next to them when I do this, or, you know, when I look at this, or, you know, you want to sit on the couch, but then you're like, did they clean this shit? I don't know. This last I don't know where their ass has been.
Ooh, butt juice.
You know, this person that got looked like they coughing in their mask. I don't trust it. You know?
So, this is not my friends.
But no, it was fun, and I definitely, you know, I recommend it if you're into the show Friends. If you're not, go to the Living Single one and
oh snap!
wait for a show that's more your speed.
For life though, I wish there was a little more of an urban angle. Like I'd love to see a Martin experience. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh, yeah. Word.
Or a Family Word. Matters experience.
Ooh. I think
animatronic Urkel.
Yeah.
Did I do that? I take a stoop. I just take a stoop for 227. Just a stoop.
There's no place like home.
I think you could combine
Jack Kay. Ooh, Mary. I used to love her.
I think you combine all those shows. Because a lot of those shows have like what? One or two sets
that they do. That's it.
Yeah. Martin would just be like Martin and Gina's apartment. That's it.
That was it.
That's true.
The radio station, if you want to go back to the early seasons.
And when the security guard worked, all his characters, you know, the security guard mm-hmm. character, Shanae.
Frank would be a good Tommy.
Yeah, yeah.
Frank, what do you do?
I mean, you ain't got a job.
You know, I do some, you know, I do some
on the side. I got a lot of things in the. I got a lot of things burning in the fire. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. All those experiences, because we even went to one together. Remember, you guys, we went to the SNL experience.
That was
dope. That reminded me of that. It was basically that.
They had the Wayne's World set up. They had they had all the costumes of all the big characters they've ever had. They had like a whole. They even had the scripts. That was what we were. Oh, the cue cards. We were looking at the cue cards for this. It was a pretty amazing experience.
That was one of the best nights of my life, you guys.
Oh, absolutely. Top 10. It was hit. Like, we were there, like, comedy took us to a place that other people weren't, like, you know, other people had to pay to go see that. Like, they were presenting that to us, and we were there as part of the whole experience.
As a VIP, we were invited there when we signed on with the Mas Mejor Studio, Room 28. And we were one of the launch partners of their comedy hub powered by Lorne Michaels. And they did this celebratory event, red carpet, at the SNL experience, which, by the way, just to bring it back to the Latinos Out Loud podcast, is where I first met Daphne Rubin Vega.
Word.
And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe you're here, but I love you. I know you from Rent. And then she's a former guest now of the Latinos Out Loud podcast and also a star of In the Heights coming out, which we're going to talk about later.
Oh. And that was also the first time Jerry smoked with Horatio Sanz.
Oh my God, stop it, but not the last. Then met up a few weeks later, didn't you, to do a shoot?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
We played his henchmen. In an El Chapo sketch.
An El Chapo sketch.
Yeah, you have to look that up.
I'm sure he remembers that.
Yeah, I'm pretty
sure. Frank, what about you? Are you getting some sleep, or have you slept over the weekend comfortably? Or
I was messed. This whole week I was messed up, man. I took a job as a production manager, so I have a 16-passenger van, and I couldn't find no parking in the city, so I was sleeping in a fucking van the whole 3 days.
Are you serious?
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It was fucking crazy.
You just said on last week's episode that you want to live in a van, and you got to live in one, and you like it?
Yeah, but now with the COVID, there's no parking. They're like, there's city bikes everywhere. All the restaurants are on the sidewalk. So right now you can't find parking, and then the parking lots won't take your van. Because of COVID, everybody's parking inside the parking lot. So I was like, damn, I couldn't find parking. So I just slept in a van for 3 days.
Like under a bridge and shit? What happened? Like,
around, around my way, man, I would park like, you know, by a fire hydrant and just go to sleep. I couldn't find parking. So I just stayed 3 days in the freaking, go to work, take the actual van to the site. And then afterwards, I just go around my way, look for parking, and I couldn't find anything. So I just slept in a van, man. It was wild.
And what's your, like, report? Are you still interested in pursuing this life of living in a van or a bus, or are you done?
I mean, I told you, if I do my own van, I would have, like, actually, I'll put a bathroom in there, amenities, everything. Yeah, so we'll hook it up, you know. But this was, like, a 16-passenger van with just the radio, you know, a little bottle just in case I had to pee, you know, snacks all over the place. I couldn't go nowhere. I had to stay in the van. There was equipment inside, props. So
I hope the production was worth it.
It was. It's all right. The money was good, but it was a hard 3 days, man. My back is killing me, man. But it
wasn't fire. I've seen you sleep like a, you know, like a baby on the floor of a hotel. So don't tell me you couldn't sleep in that van, all right?
Jerry. Yeah. Jerry gave me some really good gummies that night.
Yeah, join the gummy club.
Oh my god.
We went out to California. Jerry gave me these gummies, man. I swear to God, they were rehearsing, and I was sleeping in a room full of like 15 people while they were rehearsing. I just heard like fades, like in my dreams, man.
Oh, but we heard you.
Yeah, we're about to buy like a CPAP machine. Like,
that's when everybody's like,
we were asking for CPAP machines in the dispensaries.
It was such a funny sight, just seeing like this hibernating bear in the corner of Jerry's hotel room covered in sheets.
That's when everybody just looked at me like, oh, for real, yo, that's what you've been dealing with? I'm like, yo, bro, that's been all week. I had to learn. I brought soundproof headphones.
Jerry, sorry, man. I know I put you through a lot those days, man. I really apologize.
That was like a stereo surround sound snoring.
Yeah. Nah, it's all family, man. You know how that goes, you know. But nah, that's funny.
Every day that was at least one discussion point when we were sitting down to eat. It was like, so how was Frank snoring last night?
And they would fuck it up, right? Because I'd be like, yo, I got over it. Like, I'm like, yo, whatever. It's whatever, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, we family. But these would be like, so was he louder last night? Or was it? I'm like, oh, all right.
And nobody offered you their room. No. Nobody was like, yo, you know what? I can stay with me tonight.
No, it was one of those things where it was like, yo, I'm going to go to Jerry's room and see if you... And then you go in and you hear the snore. You're like, yeah, nah, Jerry. I got to go back to my room.
Yo, we rehearsed in the room with 15 people. He was snoring, bro. Like,
I was out, man. That was an experience, man.
That was fun, man. That was great.
It was so great. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, speaking of great segue, Bochita, bye. Hey.
I've been waiting all day. I've been waiting all night. I've been waiting all day. Bochincha. Bites. I've been waiting all day. I've been waiting all night. I've been waiting all day. Bochincha. Bites.
What up, y'all?
Hey, Jerry. What's up, brother?
What's going down?
What you doing?
Guys, I got a very important Bochincha bite. Did you guys hear that breaking, also known as breakdancing, is becoming an Olympic sport?
What?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah,
for the 2024 Summer Games in Paris, it'll finally be an official Olympic sport. You could win a gold medal for breakdancing.
Wow.
For electric worm doing, if you hit that electric worm just right and the Russian judge gives you a 9 point something, you can get a gold, you know, gold medal.
This is crazy, man.
I'm mad I quit when I was six.
I like the way he pop and lock.
Yeah, I would have at least been a coach by now.
Like, you remind me of a young Crazy Legs in his prime.
Frank, is it going to enter or what? Or is there like an age restriction?
I used to electric boogie back in the day. I'm pretty good still, man.
Me too. I used to drop a cardboard, man, and get to it.
Jerry, you used to break dance too?
Yeah, bro, on my head, man. I used to do the whole thing.
Holy shit.
Come on. I mean, look, I'm sure now, I mean, young kids are going to start training for this shit, right? Like, you know, are we going to see, but I want to know, like, you know, are those the subway break dancers, are they going to use this to get more, you know, to get more money? Is it going to be like, yo, I'm trying to, yo, what's up, y'all? I'm trying to get money so I can, like, try to get into the Olympics and shit. So whatever you can spare to help me reach my Olympic dreams.
Jimmy Smith discovers him on the train.
Yo, I know I be lighting them blunts, but I'm, like, trying to light that Olympic torch now. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Why you dancing for change when you could dance for gold?
Yes.
Wow. but now, if you can do, like, you know, you can do an Olympic sport like breaking in the subway. Are we going to see, like, pole vaulting and shit? Like, what the fuck? Is it going to... you know, are they going to be gymnastics now in the subway where it's like, oh, look at these Olympic hopefuls. What the fuck? All right, I'll give you a quarter. Scram, kid, you bother me.
Imagine it's considered too urban to shout out Showtime at the Olympics.
I know, right? That'd be crazy.
You can't say Showtime.
Where did you train? The A-train!
But shout out to the Break It Down Bronx. I mean, it was created in the Bronx. Right. And so it's a very New York thing.
Shout out to Wild Style, man. Shout out to Wild Style, the first movie that showed breaking, bro.
My man, it's one of the four elements of hip hop. Do never, ever, ever, ever forget that. Breakdancing. Yeah.
This is the latest kind of new wave sport. That's what they're calling kind of these new wave sports that weren't always Olympic events. And so the ones that are premiering in the next Olympics, not 2024, the one in Tokyo next summer, which should have been this summer, is skateboarding, climbing, and surfing. Those are all making their debuts.
Surfing?
Surfing, yeah. Less street than breakdancing. A little bit more West Coast stuff, a little Point Breakish.
Climbing, that's an interesting one. Did you say climbing?
Climbing?
Yeah. Climbing. Like climbing what?
I mean, I'm assuming mountains. I don't know what the fuck they're in.
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
Fire escapes from police.
I know, right? Buildings?
obstacles that put before them.
What about your career? What if I just want to climb in my career? Can I enter? Can I be like, I'm here to climb as a podcaster? No, that doesn't work. It's not an Olympic sport. That's
podcasting, but having said that, podcasting, 2028, let's go. I don't know where it's going to be in 2028, but maybe they could, that could be in there, you know? Mm. A bunch of people talking shit for like an hour. with very good mics.
Yes.
All right, guys. The next bite. HBO Max.
Bite me.
I don't know, when Jerry says it, it's creepy. HBO Max, which is kind of like the Netflix, yeah. HBO's version of Netflix, streaming service.
Yeah.
They announced that Warner Brothers, all Warner Brothers 2021 movies, I'm talking, these are like big blockbuster movies. They're going to be premiering both in theaters, where the cities that have theaters, on the same day, they're also going to premiere on HBO Max. So you can literally see all these movies in your home the day they are released for 2021. And I'm not talking little movies. I'm talking like Wonder Woman, already coming at Christmas, right? You can see that at home once it comes out.
Okay,
Godzilla versus King Kong, you can see that first day. These are like big movies.
So Jamie, hold on. You can see the movie in the theater and then go see the rerun in your house?
No, well, yeah, the same day it'll premiere in a theater, but it'll also, if you have HBO Max, you can just see it at home.
Wow.
So this might be the death of movie theaters, right?
Right.
You can't eat mango in a movie theater.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, you can see, I could watch the next Matrix movie, which is another movie from Warner Brothers coming out next year. I could see that at my house. I don't have to go, you know? I feel like we took one of the red or blue pills this year.
Right.
We took the wrong pill this year, but having said that... This, you know, and the reason I even bring it up is In the Heights, which has been delayed for a long ass time, it was supposed to come out last summer, is actually going to be premiering on HBO Max. Ooh. June 18th, my birthday.
Hey. Birthday, Jamie.
So Lin-Manuel,
Jamie, maybe we get some tickets, man, and we celebrate your birthday at the actual theater that it's going to be premiering at.
Oh no, I'm gonna stay home and watch that shit. Chill. Didn't you hear what I said? I don't have to. We don't have to go out. I have HBO Max. I can watch it at home. Although I don't know, The Heights has changed a lot in the 2 years that was filmed. They're gonna have to call that shit Yellow Zone.
Anybody will bring the people out. It's Lin-Manuel Miranda. He does, and you know, the world does whatever he says. He's like our Oprah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Some of those dancing scenes in The Heights now, Cuomo will have you arrested. You know, you go over the limit. Yeah, there's more than 10 people here, guys. Come on, get out of here. This is dangerous.
I'm thinking, but what do you guys think about that? About how people are feeling like that's the end of, like, that's the death of like cinema. Like,
well, I mean, like, I think always people are gonna love movie. Like, they're gonna miss movie. I already miss movie theaters. I miss the smell of like popcorn, and I miss, you know, having to shush people who are talking at the screen. You know, I miss shit like that, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I miss the overpriced. Like, there's certain things that, like, it was outdating itself on its own. Like, we're getting like these curved televisions. Yo, you want a big screen experience? Just put your chair in front of one of these 60-inch TVs. It's the same thing. Because at least you don't have to like hold your neck up like you do in a theater. Then you're like, you have to share a room with strangers. The popcorn is overpriced. Soda's overpriced. Tickets are overpriced.
You want to take? You don't do it. Come on, Jerry. You know we do the pharmacy. We do the pharmacy run before. We go Dwayne Reed. We get all our snacks, put them in our pockets, and then we got our shit, right?
I know. This is my legal side talking. this is like if you were to do it by the books. You know what I'm saying? You take your whole family out. That's more than $100 for a movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you rent it for $11.99 or $20, listen, even if you rent it for $40 at your house, overpriced movie, you're still saving $60 and you're in your house. And the kids can scream. You can pause it. You can be like, yo, I didn't understand what the fuck you just said. Rewind the shit. You're at home and you watching this shit in your underwear. So, I mean, as much as I love cinema and all that, yeah, it's great. At the end of the day, I think sometimes, like, I think the cinema of experience has been brought home with the sound speakers and all this other stuff. Like, I don't know. As long as you watch it, I think the important thing is that you watch it. I think just people just consume it however you're going to consume it.
I could definitely hear my neighbor's sound speaker. He definitely brought the in-theater experience right. His goddamn apartment.
Well, that's the thing now. People are going to judge you. The less movie theaters are going to be a reality, more people are going to judge you for your TV situation. They're going to be like, right. Is this 4K? I don't know. At least HDR. I mean, what am I watching here? This is regular HD. I'm out of here. I gotta go.
Where are your Sonos speakers? Like, where? I'm out of here. Bye. No Sonos, no me.
Why does your TV have a hunchback? What the fuck is this? How old is this? Did you buy this at a flea market? I don't. And Jerry, why are you only wearing underwear? What the fuck?
Two prerequisites in this friendship, okay? I need a smart friend and a smart friend who has a smart TV, okay? Bye.
Frank, before we end this, do you have any friends that are gonna? I feel like the DL movie theaters are gonna pop up, underground movie theaters. You know,
I mean,
boys be like, "Yo, come through, yo! I got this like huge ass cinema thing going on." It's you know.
I mean, back in the days, the movie theaters was like to smoke weed and like, you could make out with girls. Like, I like the movie theaters. That's a cheap place to take a girl and like make out with her, feel her up. You feel me? Like that shit is gone now. Like, I'm missing that. You know, $50, little popcorn, you know, squeeze, little makeout session. I was good.
Nah, I was a nerd though. I was like, I didn't want to miss the movie and shit.
Right.
I'd be like, yo, no. Darth Vader's coming out. What? We can't make out right now.
Another thing, Frank. Here's just a note for you guys. Here's a note from the wise. Like, we don't want buttery fingers up our toto at the movie theater. Okay? Just letting you know that causes a yeast infection. So just be considerate. Okay, be kind and rewind. Okay, just remember that.
Wow. And on that note, that's the. I think we have to end it now.
Yeah. Once I'm at the guillotine to the culo, it said yeah.
Like green. It's
buttery fingering. You always have to end it on the buttery fingering statement. That's the bites for this week. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Time for Frankspiracy News, people.
Live from La Gran Manzana, it's Frankspiracy News with Frank Nibs.
Hello! nice to have you today, Jerry.
Thank you for that. Thank you, Frank. And that's why I'm here right now, because of this segment right now. I don't care that I offend my lifelong friends, and I tell them that this is my favorite segment. Go ahead, continue. It's an honor to be here.
Well, Jerry, you're here on the perfect date, because this may be perhaps one of my biggest fake news segments ever.
We need some kind of sound effect inserted here, because that's a big statement.
Yeah, I'm nervous. Oh, guys. I mean, 2 weeks ago, I let this out that there might be a blackout happening in a few weeks in our country. Sure. And today I'm going to divulge why we're going to have it and when, on what date. I'm giving you a specific date. Guys, this is going to be a world event, they're saying, okay? I told you guys, this is the year of 2020. This is the year of perfect vision, guys. Everyone is going to see this. They call this the great solar event. They call this the great conjunction, which means the new beginning. They call this the great cosmic alignment. Guys, they call this the great shift. Guys, I know you've heard this. They call this the great reset.
Yes.
I just sharded.
You resharded?
I resharded.
Guys, here it goes. I'm going to give you the date. December 21st, 2020. It's all ones and twos, guys. Something huge is happening. The planet Saturn, which I talked about in the 100th episode, guys, and the planet Jupiter are going to be the closest to each other in recorded history, guys. And this is happening, guys, on December 21st, which is the winter solstice, is the rise of the sun, so to speak. And Rachel, hear this out. This is happening for the first time in 800 years, Rachel.
So you were around for the first one. Tell us what's the difference here?
Wow.
Rachel, remember I told you about the number 8, right? This is huge.
Yes, 888.
That's my favorite number.
Right. Really, wow, that's amazing, Jerry. And guys, this is weird. This coincides with the Mayan calendar, okay? Which they predicted, really, at the end of the day, 2020 is supposed to be 2012, guys. Okay? And this cosmic phenomenon is going to be seen all over the world. And Rachel, if you take 2020 and you deduct 2012, it comes out to 8.
I could do that math. I just did it in my head. You're right. It's 8.
But guys, I don't want to scare you, okay? Because this is going to be a new beginning.
Too late.
Oh, should I say 2-8?
Yeah. This is going to be a good thing. They're saying that... from the Aurora Borealis, what you're seeing right now behind me.
Aurora Borealis.
Yes. That thing right there, they call this the Garden of Eden. They're saying that something huge is going to happen from here, which is the North Pole, and it's going to spread all over the Earth. And you're going to perhaps see what you're seeing behind me right now throughout everywhere.
Northern Lights.
Yes, the Northern Lights, okay? And they're saying that this age is called the Age of Aquarius, the Age of Love. The age of bliss, okay? And beautiful things will be happening. There is a song called The Age of Aquarius by
this Fifth Dimension. This is the dawning on the age of Aquarius.
Right.
We don't own the rights. Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Right, guys.
And you were really off key there, Jerry. Too.
Guys, they're saying on those dates that you should eat light, you shouldn't have too many heavy metals, and you should eat very light because there's going to be a lot of energy.
What do you mean? No, we can't
listen to heavy metal? Yeah, stay away from meats. Yeah. Right, Jerry. Oh,
okay. And shredded steel.
Right.
Damn, really? Because I love a good shredded steel stew.
Right. And guys, it keeps on going. Even the like religious people are really into this. I'm gonna tell you why. In scriptures, okay? The seven trumpets. I know you know about this, Jamie. You went to Catholic school, so maybe you can help me here.
Me too.
Oh, you too? Maybe you guys remember about the seven trumpets, the sound off before the turn of the sun?
I didn't really pay attention a lot in class. Okay.
What is your answer?
Well, guys, the first trumpet was sounded off in 2013. Obviously, the second one, 2014, then 2015, 16, 17, 18. The seventh trumpet was on the 20th, 19. Right now, 2020, Rachel, the eighth trumpet is this year.
Wait. I'm so lost. There's trumpets. What?
Yeah, this is like a scripture thing.
Year. Eight. Right.
Oh, back number to eight number
again.
Eight.
Yes, and 7, 8, 9.
Right. And guys, get ready for this. This is the last. Get ready. You hear the word Trump, Pence? Who is the vice president? Pence, right? So Trump, Pence, get it? Guys, the religious...
Trump, Pence.
Wow, this is guys, like the end on. Of Usual Suspects. This is like when I found out who Kaiser Soze was.
Guys, this is real. This is real. This, I mean, the religious people are really, really in on this. And guys, I'm going to leave you off with this right now. The date of 12/21/2020, okay? And the next day that we're going to see our new president will be on January, which is 01/21/2021, guys.
Oh. Well, I have news for you, Frank. We'll be recording this podcast on 12/21/20.
No! Are you serious?
It's in 2 Mondays from now. So what are we doing? That's my question.
Oh, shit.
Do we come in like toga and bring our crystals? Like, what do we do?
Wow.
Should it be from a bunker?
No, Jerry, they're saying nice things are going to happen. They're trying to scare
nice
us.
Nice things.
Right. Look, by the way, guys, government's going to say that there was a blackout, that there was probably a terrorist attack, the same old stuff, country attacked, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, is this a royal rebellious that's really acting up and it's going to spew? And guys, listen to this. They're saying that those chemicals, we need to breathe them in because they're going to help us ascend to that next level. And they may have mutant powers and give us a certain type of abilities if we smell this gas going throughout the whole world.
I'm gonna go. So I got to stand outside the Empire State Building.
Right. Well, what they're going to do is they're going to do a lockdown so you don't smell it. And they're going to probably put us inside, so we don't see it. They're going to be spraying a lot of chemtrails also so you don't see the lot. You're going to be able to see the planets and certain moons from certain planets. It's going to be something else, guys.
I got to get my kid that telescope. It's really not for him. It's for me, but I'm going to get it for him, for me.
Well, guys, 2021 is going to be huge. I can't wait till the 21st of December, guys, and we're going to be on air. I love it. I can't wait. This is the fake news for today. Thank you so much, everyone.
You guys, it's time for Que Lo Que. So I'm going to pass the mic to our favorite guest co-host of the week, Jerry Diaz. Sup, Elmo?
What's up? I want to give a shout out to our friends at Uptown Collective. Listen up, familia. You have until December 31st, 2020 to check out Go Vida, homage to victims of the pandemic at the Morris Journal Mansion. Go Vida is the creation of internationally recognized artist Andrea Arroyo as an artistic tribute to the victims of COVID-19 pandemic. Go Vida honors the people who have passed away from the virus, acknowledges the resilience of our community, and recognizes the courage of essential workers still on the front lines. Ribbons incorporated into the piece feature the names of pandemic victims submitted by the public for the inclusion in the living memorial, which will continue to expand as more names are received. So shout out to them.
And where could people find you, yo, and all the stuff that you're working on? Bodega,
of course, you can give me a shout out over at El Modifoca at all the socials. Follow my podcast, Men on Pause. And you know what? Mad love. Thank you guys always for showing us love. And really quick, shout out, rest in peace to Miguel Algarín. I was a poet at one day. He gave us all the voice out there. All these poets out here in New York, we all know we thank you for pioneering and opening the door and letting us perform there and do our thing. We had comedy shows there. I've done a lot of stuff. Yeah, it's most definitely. So, yeah, thank you again. Rest in peace to Miguel Algarín. Thank you one again.
Yeah, one of the highlights of my career back in the day was when I first performed on the stage of the New Yorican Poets Cafe. Because to us, it's like the Latino Apollo. It's small in size, but it's massive in impact. Mm. And a lot of our friends have come out of there, La Bruja, a lot of prized poets, Mariposa, and that's it's a cultural institution for Latinos here in New York.
And I mean, not to cut you off, and comedy,
the New Eurekan, I forgot what the sketch comedy team, it passes me right now.
New Eurekan Rules,
you know, our homie Mark Vieira, whatever, all those guys, and of course, RIP, you know what I'm saying? They all held it down, and they were one of these people that first started, and that was a place for them to do it, you know? And, I mean, Jamie saw me win some poetry
things. Yeah, I was going to say that. I literally just saw him just be like, I'm going to go up and do something real quick. And then he went, and then he won the award. He won the award of the contest.
Yeah, I walked into the place with no intentions of it. And, like, you know, it's just one of those things that you just kind of, like, jump in and do. And I ended up winning, like, one category. Yeah, so thanks. That was a long-ass hello.
I like to think I helped. I motivated.
You did. You inspired me to go up there. Y'all pushed me to go up there. Yeah,
and look, like what Rachel said, like the Puerto Rican Poets Cafe, Jerry is also small in size, but massive impact.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, guys, let me do my que lo que, and we're going to start it with Yero, of course. Much love to our peoples at Yero.com, the lifestyle and news platform for Latino men.
All right.
Okay, peeps, with COVID raging, we know this year's Navidad is going to be different, but there are still ways to keep the cultura alive, from Zooming Nochebuena to homebrew coquito, wink, wink, Rachel. Oh. Visit Yero.com to learn how you can keep up with your Latino traditions during quarantine. All right? Yero's always looking out for you guys. And also, if you want to follow me, stalk me, Jay Ferns at Instagram, J_Ferns at Twitter.
Yes. Well, not much for me. Just please follow me at Rachel La Loca. The fitness journey continues. Thanks for all the advice from everybody out there, friends, from telling me how to fitness pose because I'm not very good at it, to just giving me some tips on how not to break my back. And I'm going to pass the mic over to Frank because we want to talk about something a little more somber but also impactful.
Guys, today I'm going to give my que lo que to Mr. Kenny Ortega, who unfortunately passed away a few days ago from COVID. I didn't know who he was personally, but I saw a huge outpouring of love for him on from the comedy community. Maybe you guys could fill in on who this guy is. This guy had a lot of love from a lot of people.
Yeah, well, I mean, we were certainly touched, you know, being a part of the comedy community here in New York and having rolled up at some of the same places as Kenny, you just kind of get to know each other. And like Kenny was always, in my experience and from my viewpoint, he was always pushing us, you know, in the right way, in the right direction. He interacted with, I know, a lot of stand-up friends of ours, but like even in the sketch community, he came to our shows, he supported us. I was on air talent with him back in the day on Urban Latino Radio over 10 years ago. So yeah, we saw each other a lot. And then he was a finalist last year in the HBO Entre Nos stand-up competition that Bago, myself, and Angelo Lozada were judges in. And it's just one of those things, man, like, you know, rest in peace to Kenny and to his family. We're certainly thinking of you. And to everybody who's out there fighting the fight with COVID still, whether it's you yourself or with a loved one, this shit is still real, bro. It's still, like, affecting us and impacting us. I don't know if you guys want to add anything, but I certainly want to send some love out to Kenny, who's in heaven right now, listening to us.
Shout out. I mean, if you do come, I want to just bunny hop right on top of what you say, because everything is 100% what you just said there. And if you do comedy in New York, being a Latino, and you know what, even just if you're doing comedy in New York and you're in that world, you were to cross paths with that guy. You had to cross paths with that guy. And then if you were in the stand-up world, he was one of the pillars that you definitely had to cross by. And the thing about that guy was, like, anytime I saw him, he was always mentoring somebody. He was always trying to help somebody out. I know he helps out somebody that we really knew that was trying to do the same thing, trying to do stand-up. And you just hear positive things. And, like, you just hear, like, oh, you know, maybe they weren't big, but I know his improv, he did crowd work, his crowd work and his improv hosting stuff it takes a special skill. And I know, again, I respect that world because, you know, stand-up is its own beast. And he was one of the good ones to do it. So, yo, just rest in peace. I know he touched a lot of people. I didn't get to work with him like that, but he always supported and he was always a good guy when I saw him. So, yo, rest in peace. And, you know, my condolences to his family and friends, anybody that he touched.
And, Rachel, you mentioned Angelo. You know, that was another, you know, New York City Latino comedian that, you know, may not have been a household name, you know, but the people that knew and, like, knew them and, you know, been to their shows and, you know how funny they are, know that these guys are, you know, irreplaceable. Like, you know, they're titans of their industry, which is stand-up in this case. And these are the guys that influence a lot of the people you do know that you've heard of, you know, the people that make it big, they're the ones, you know, on social media, you know, saying like, these guys really inspire me, or these guys really like, you know, every time they did a show, they made me laugh. So definitely, you know, and stand up is going through a tough time right now with COVID, especially in New York City. Yeah. So this reminds you that we should value our stand up performers and especially these Latino performers, you know, because they're like forces of nature. And this guy was, you know, he has so much love given to him online. Like, he was a good guy too. You could tell. Yep. You know, rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Kenny, we love you. Well, on that note, let's continue to love each other. Praise the word. Keep positive. Keep the faith. We're here for you guys. You know, as a podcast, we're always going to talk about the things that affect us, whether they're funny or not. And I hate to end on such a somber note, but it's sad, bro. I'm sorry. It's like, I hated getting that text message. I'm like, no, are we here again? What the fuck? You gotta be kidding me. Like, the comedy world is really taking a hit here in New York City. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I just want to say, I love you guys so much. I love what you do.
Love you too, Rachel.
When we come together, it's like a real escape. I mean, personally speaking, it's so needed. And I just hope that we provide that same kind of escape to others out there listening to.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on again. You know, usually when you're going through your roughest, you need your friends and stuff like that. And these times, these holidays and stuff could be, it's not the same for everybody. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean the same thing for everybody. So reach out to people you know, reach out to people you love and go, you know, just appreciate it. Appreciate your time. There's a lot of people you can't appreciate. Or you wish you could tell them you appreciate them. So, and I appreciate you guys, and I appreciate this motherfucking podcast. Oh,
one love, brother.
One love.
Yeah, I love you guys. On that note, I'm not gonna yell it out. I don't feel like yelling. On that note, we're out.